We'll go ahead and get started this morning. This quarter we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is an interesting book when it comes time to organizing your study of that book because of the way it's written. There are certain sections of the book of Proverbs that lend themselves to a verse-by-verse type study. But for the most part, the way the Proverbs are written, it really lends itself more to a topical type study. So we're going to be doing a mixture of both. There are going to be sections of Proverbs that we will cover as sections in a verse-by-verse type study. And then we are going to have most of our lessons organized as topical studies. And we'll see some of the reasons for that as we talk about the Proverbs themselves this morning. First of all, who are the authors of the book of Proverbs? Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Pardon? Primarily Solomon. Most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon. There are two other authors that are named. Can anybody think of who those other two authors would be? Okay, one is Agur, the son of Jacob. And who is the other one? Wrote the last book of the book of Proverbs. Lemuel. All right, Lemuel. King Lemuel. And there he is recording some of the advice that his mother gave to him. All right, let's look at some definitions. First of all, what is a proverb? A wise saying. I like Strong's definition. He says it's just sentences of ethical wisdom. And as you look through the book of Proverbs, you do have, for the most part, one or two sentence thoughts that are given. And they contain ethical wisdom, ethical thoughts. That's one of the things that is unique about the book of Proverbs. Most of the books of the Bible, when you are reading through them, the context tends to be very important. It's very difficult in most of the books of the Bible to just go out, pick out a verse, read it, and get a lot out of that verse. Because you really need to look at the context of that verse to get its full meaning. But many of the Proverbs are not that way. Many of the Proverbs are just one verse, a sentence or two, that really stand alone. And you can go out there and read through the book of Proverbs and sometimes pick and choose verses at random and get the full meaning of that verse. Instances where that lends itself very well to certain things, like daily reading, picking out a daily thought. You can go out there and pick out a verse and that sort of have a thought for the day. You could look at several verses together. Several years ago, I was working at a company where I was in charge of a large computer system, and it was set up so that you could put a message of the day on everybody's screen. And very often I would pick a verse out of the book of Proverbs, and that would be the message of the day on the screen. So they kind of stand alone, many of them. Right in the area of definitions, we've talked about Proverbs being little nuggets of wisdom. But what is wisdom? What is wisdom? Pardon? All right, knowing God's Word.
The proverb of all toes set on their bottoms. Have you ever heard
I don't know that I've heard that one before. Okay. Right. Any other questions or comments?
A lot of things people know, but knowing the knowledge is probably you've got to use that knowledge in a proper way, which is what we're doing.
All right. So wisdom is the ability to take facts and knowledge and put them together in a useful way, so that you know how to use those facts and you know how to use that knowledge. And as we look at the Proverbs, another thing to remember as well is that in many cases, a proverb presents a general truth. For instance, there are a number of proverbs that we'll look at that have to do with the idea of wicked people being punished here on earth, falling into calamity because of their actions. But is it true that all wicked people will receive punishment and that all wicked people will fall into calamity here in this life? All right, no, it's not. So a lot of the Proverbs are general truths. Of course, there are certain things that are absolute, Proverbs that deal with righteousness, with God's punishment of the wicked. We understand those to be absolute. But Proverbs that deal with our life here on earth, in many cases, are general truths where there are exceptions, but the general rule is stated in the proverb. Let's turn over for just a moment to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Talking still about wisdom. In Proverbs 4, verse 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Now let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." And skip over in chapter 2 to verse 12. It says, "And I turned myself to know wisdom, to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me, and why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool." Now, it's generally accepted that Solomon wrote both of these books. So why is it that he would write in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is the principal thing, and we find the excellence of wisdom, the imperative of striving to get wisdom over and over in the book of Proverbs, and yet you come over here to the book of Ecclesiastes, and he talks like pursuing wisdom is just something that's going to lead to frustration, and that when a wise man dies, it's just like a fool dying. How do you reconcile those thoughts coming from the same man? All right, I think that's it exactly. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we'll see a contrast of those different kinds of wisdom. First Corinthians 1, we may kind of skip around here a little bit, but beginning in verse 17, and really the thought runs all the way through verse 31, Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect." So there's a wisdom of words, but that's not the wisdom that Paul brought. Skipping down, he says in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And you continue to have this contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. So I believe what we have going on in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll see this in more detail as we continue our introduction to Proverbs, but the book of Proverbs deals with the wisdom of God. And we're going to see where the wisdom in the book of Proverbs is tied very closely with the idea of the fear of God, is tied very closely with the idea of righteousness. But you get over to the book of Ecclesiastes, and what Solomon is talking about there is the pursuit of worldly wisdom and the vexation and the vanity of pursuing worldly wisdom. He talks about how the wise man becomes more and more frustrated because the more wisdom that you get, if you only use that and apply that in a worldly sense, then the world that we live in is a very frustrating place. He uses the example of the wise man who sees injustice. A wise person knows that injustice is wrong. A wise person is aware of how bad it is for good people to suffer. And yet you see a lot of that in this world. And that's very vexing if you only look at things from a worldly point of view. But the book of Proverbs, dealing with the wisdom of God, tells us to take a much larger view of things. You look at things in terms of not only what happens here on this earth, but you look at things in terms of what's going to happen to us after we leave this life. And then you, while the worldly wise might be frustrated, for instance, that a wicked person is not punished for their wickedness. But a person who is wise in the wisdom of God knows that person may be getting away with something right now. But when judgment comes, they're going to be punished. So you have two completely different types of wisdom and two completely different ways of looking at the world and the way things look. Right, any questions or comments before we go to the next section? All right, let's talk about the purpose of the book. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, Solomon states the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes. And there are several reasons, several uses that we can get from the book of Ecclesiastes given here in these first six verses. First of all, in verse 2, there are two things that he wants us to know through the book of Proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom, of course, as we've talked about, is the practical application of knowledge. The word instruction here comes from a word meaning discipline. So he's giving us the information that we need to apply knowledge and to use it correctly. And he is also giving instruction or giving us words that tell us how important discipline is in our lives. It's very important to be a disciplined individual. And the book of Proverbs deals with that in many places. Also, verse 2 tells us that another purpose of the book of Proverbs is to perceive the words of understanding. That is, to understand things that are told to us, to help us to understand the instruction that we get from wise men, how to use that information that we receive, and how to apply it. Verse 3 says, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So we're to receive instruction in how to use wisdom. And as we see over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the idea that wisdom is being imparted to us is given repeatedly. The book of Proverbs deals with the subject of justice. There are many proverbs that deal with the responsibilities of a ruler, a person in authority. There are many proverbs there for people in a position of authority. There are proverbs there dealing with being just in our dealings with other people, with our neighbors, with our friends, how to be a good neighbor, how to be a friend, and how to apply justice in our relationship with others. We're going to receive instruction in judgment and making decisions in our lives. How to choose the right way, how to avoid the wrong way, how to use judgment. And equity, very much related to the idea of justice, probably more in line with our dealings with other people on a daily basis. There are a lot of proverbs that deal with our business dealings, being fair in our business dealings with others, showing equity. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The simple here would simply be someone who's uneducated, someone who's just beginning their learning. And to give subtlety to that person is to give the ability to reason things out. Not subtlety in the sense of being sly and underhanded, but subtlety in the sense of the ability to understand and to reason things through. That's one of the first things that a young person needs to be taught, is how to think, how to reason things through. Not only to give them facts, but also to teach them how to think and to be critical in their thinking. To give subtlety to the simple.
New King James uses the word prudence.
All right, prudence.
So you can approach something just haphazardly,
mm-hmm.
or you can look at the situation and weigh it and deal in the proper way with it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? And to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Again, very, very much the same idea with a young person. Wisdom, as we've said, is the application of knowledge. We have to have knowledge to begin with. And then the discretion, the ability to take that knowledge and turn it into something useful. Verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So it not only do the Proverbs have something for the young, for the simple, for the inexperienced, but even the wise man can gain from reading the book of Proverbs. And what they gain is they gain help in increasing in their understanding, and even the wise man can find guidance, additional guidance in the book of Proverbs. A truly wise person knows that they never stop learning, that they're never going to attain the ultimate in wisdom here on this earth. And you never stop trying, you never stop increasing your knowledge and your understanding. And there's much here for even for the experienced individual.
Rick, chapter 9, verse 9, it says, give instructions to a wise man and he will be wiser. Mm-hmm. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning.
Okay. And that's very much a purpose stated here. That's good. In verse 6, it says, to understand a proverb and the interpretations, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. So not only does the book of Proverbs give us sayings, but it also has information in it that will help us to understand the sayings of others and to help us to understand the words that wise people might impart to us, and to help us to understand their more difficult and complex sayings. So a number of very useful topics are covered in the book of Proverbs. A number of very useful things are imparted to us if we'll take them and use them in the manner in which they are intended. Right, any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far?
Then in verse 6, he uses the word in there. How do you pronounce it?
Pardon?
How do you pronounce the word in verse 6? Enigma? No words.
Enigma?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We use that word in intelligence. In other words, we have a machine that has been made
Yeah, an enigma is like a puzzle or a riddle. And sometimes people deliberately speak in a way that is a little bit difficult to understand. And sometimes the level at which somebody is speaking and dealing is difficult for an unlearned or an inexperienced person to understand. And it takes time and it takes experience sometimes to understand what some of these people are talking about. In the book of Proverbs, and it states as one of its purposes is to help us do that. Yes, sir?
Sometimes there are things that are apparent contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom will help you to ferret that out and see mm-hmm. what the real truth is. And a lot of times people will say and then say something else. They're really not contradicting one another.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to dig it out.
Yeah. And we, you know, we saw an example of that this morning where on one hand Solomon says wisdom is the principal thing, and yet in another book he says that it could be vexing, it could be vanity. Yes, sir?
I think that whole thing, both these things are parallel to a spiritual person. These proverbs will mean a great deal. If our mindset is at the point that we want to serve God and we're interested in these principles, people
I really like that example, the parables of Christ. That's an excellent example of something that was an enigma to some people and completely transparent to others. And a lot of the sayings of Christ were like that. And there were some of the sayings of Christ that were enigmas to his apostles right up to the time of his death, and death, burial, and resurrection. And it really wasn't until the book of Acts and the events there that his apostles began to really understand a lot of the things that he had written. So the words of the wise can be dark sayings or enigmas. And as we grow in wisdom, as we grow in understanding, we begin to perceive the answers to some of these sayings. All right, any other questions or comments? That's right. And we'll see that different times here in the book of Proverbs, where wisdom is connected with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is connected with righteousness. And there's that the necessity of fearing God and reverencing God is repeated over and over again. And that, again, ties into the fact that the book of Proverbs deals with the wisdom that comes from God. And we have to fear God and reverence Him and His Word to grow in wisdom as we should. All right, let's look at the overall outline of the book of Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9 deal with fatherly advice. Here, Solomon speaks as though he's speaking to a son over and over again. Chapters 10 through 24 are the Proverbs of Solomon. And for the most part, in chapters 10 through 24, the thought jumps around from one verse to the next. And much of what we cover in those chapters will be covered in a topical study. You really don't find very many verses there that are really tied together in a unified thought. And I've seen occasions where there were attempts to find themes in chapters and then to fit all those, try to show how all the verses in the chapter fit into the theme, and it tends to be kind of awkward sometimes. So we'll look at most of chapters 10 through 24 as a topical type study. Chapter 30 are the words of Agur, the son of Jacob. There are sections there where you find a unified thought, and we may look at several sections of that in a verse-by-verse type study. The same thing with chapter 31, where it contains the words of King Lemuel. Much of the instruction there comes to the king from his mother. So that's just a very high-level outline of the book of Proverbs. Any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far? All right, let's look at a little bit more detailed outline of chapters 1 through 9. As we said before, chapters 1 through 9 are primarily a father's advice to a son. King Solomon speaking to the reader as though he's a son. A number of different approaches that we can take in using what Solomon says. One thing that we need to do is to look at it like a son listening to a father. Here's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and he's brought together these proverbs, and he's giving them to us. And we need to listen, just like a son listening to a father. And as Solomon is an inspired writer, in a very real sense, this is God talking to us, and we are His sons and daughters. And from that standpoint, we need to give very careful attention to what is being said. Another use or point of view, or however you would like to express it, is to look at it as a parent or a grandparent or an adult who has influence over children as a teacher or a coach or a scout leader. And here is presented to us what we need to be teaching young people. First of all, we need to learn it ourselves, and then we need to look through this to see what we need to be teaching those that we have influence over. So anyone that's in a position of authority or influence with a younger person, particularly these first 9 chapters, give you a great deal of information about what you need to be teaching these young people that you deal with on a daily basis. There are some recurring themes here in chapters 1 through 9. There is the imperative of seeking wisdom. Over and over again, it's repeated to us how important it is to seek wisdom, to listen to instruction, to listen to the wise man. There's the imperative of accepting instruction and reproof. Listen to what those who are wiser than you have to say. Have the humility to accept their instruction, their improve, their reproof, the discipline that they offer you. And that's repeated over and over again here in chapters 1 through 9. Another recurring theme is the price of rejecting wisdom. There's a price to be paid for rejecting wisdom, and it's expressed in different ways several different times in this section. There is the connection between wisdom and righteousness and godliness, as has already been pointed out in verse 7 of chapter 1. It talks about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom. And we find that continuing theme throughout these chapters, the connection between wisdom and serving God, fearing God, wisdom being equated with righteousness. Another thing that is repeated over and over in these chapters is the influence of others on our lives and being very careful about who we associate with and the kind of influence that we allow them to have. It talks about the influence of sinners in general, the influence of our peers, and the influence of evil women. All of these are repeated different times. There are some other themes that are found here that aren't necessarily repeated over and over again, but we do find them, things like our treatment of others, the idea of being haughty or froward, as it's put in the King James. So there are other things that are treated here as well, but there are several big themes that are repeated over and over again. One of the things that we see with these repeating themes is the importance of repetition in our teaching and in our learning. Repetition is looked upon a lot of times as being a negative thing, but at the same time, it is a very useful teaching tool. And it's something that we need to be willing to accept ourselves, to hear lessons repeated again, because many times we need them to be repeated, to be reminded of things, and need to remember that that's a valuable teaching tool in teaching others, to repeat lessons, to help us make sure that we don't forget them. All right, are there any questions or comments?
Peter wrote, he said, I'm writing these to people who already know it.
Okay.
But he said, I'm telling you again.
Mm-hmm. He just basically says, I'm not telling you anything new.
He said, and I think I'll do that as long as I'm in this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James chapter 1 and verse 5 encourages us to pray for wisdom to help us to understand the Bible.
One of the things it's dealt with too is the idea, or in a negative way, well, something, it would be negative to a person's life is to be conceited.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, don't be wise in your own eyes.
Right.
And that's repeated in the New Testament as well.
And we'll see in different places in the book of Proverbs where the fool is cast in that light. The fool is too haughty, too conceited to listen to wiser men.
Well, in that first chapter, he said, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 7.
That's right. And in fact, we'll go ahead and just jump right in with verse 7 here in chapter 1. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. What goes along with the fear of the Lord that will help make us receptive to the wisdom that he offers to us? And some of these things have already been mentioned and hit on some already in some of your comments. Okay, so we have to take a good deal of that burden onto ourselves. It's like a fountain. You're not going to quench your thirst unless you're willing to go to that fountain and drink from it. What are some of the qualities that are inherent in this word fear that's used when it talks about the fear of the Lord? Respect. And that's a very important part of our gaining wisdom from God is the respect and the reverence that we have for God and the respect and the reverence that we have for His Word. Now, that's something that the fool does not have. Who says in his heart there is no God? The fool. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool rejects God. The fool is never going to have the wisdom of God. Because he rejects it. He doesn't reverence God and respect Him. So the fool despises or looks down on wisdom. The fool rejects God. The fool, it says, will not receive instruction. And as we look through the book of Proverbs, many times the word instruction is used and is translated from a word that means correction or discipline. Correction and discipline can be hard to accept sometimes. It means that we've got to accept that somebody knows more than we do, that they've got some authority over us, that we need to listen to somebody else to tell us what to do. So accepting correction and accepting instruction or discipline from someone means that we've got to swallow our pride and understand that they have something we need. All right, any questions or comments about verse 7? Yes, sir.
Since we've already brought Ecclesiastes into it, it's almost as though you're stating the same thing in two different ways. In Ecclesiastes, he's saying, without God, if you consider these things, life is empty and vain. Mm-hmm. In verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you fear God and you respect God, you know who He is, you know what he's capable of, what he's done in the past, and what He does for us. And that governs everything else that you think about. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put it in that perspective, then that really is the beginning of knowledge. Mm-hmm. When you start, not expressing it very well, but when you start off with that basis of who God is, mm-hmm. and what He's done for us, then all other aspects of your life that we're going to discuss in this problem mm-hmm. take on a whole new meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like as far as wisdom and is concerned, The fear of God is like a fork in the road. You've got two different paths that you're going to take depending on your attitude toward God. And we see that in the book of Proverbs, and we see that in the book of Ecclesiastes. You've got that dual track going on. The thing that Solomon sees and expresses, the things under the sun, for instance. A lot of those passages are things that he looks at from a worldly point of view, and then you have the contrast, the different track or path, looking at it from the view of someone who fears God and sees the big picture, the view of things from the point of view of one who fears God. Right, are there any other questions or comments? We're at, I think, a good stopping point here. Lord willing, Wednesday night, we'll take up here in chapter 1, around verses 8 and 9.